everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Frank, check this out. This 11-year-old boy with a sign saying Yankee fan today, tomorrow, forever. That's Gerrit Cole. Do you think the Yankees should have shown him that photo got a couple hundred million knocked off the price? Just saying. That's awesome. That's our panel. Let's go.
He's a Jeter fan. Jeter's not giving them a discount.
The word is forever. Forever.
Nine years for a pitcher. That's happened once before. Anybody know who got 9 years in the history of baseball? Anybody? Wayne Garland, 1976,
yes.
Cleveland.
Of course.
He went 28-48 total, was released 5 years into those 10 years, and the whole deal was $2.3 million. So that's to say, history, and $324 million for a pitcher, of course. That's never happened before either. Frank Isola, you're in New York. We'll start with you. Who are the winners here? Who are the losers here? What does this all mean that the Yankees paid big for Gerrit Cole?
Well, obviously the pitcher is the big winner. The Yankees are the big winner. You know, Tony, I look back a decade ago, C.C. Sabathia, when he signed with the Yankees, it was for 7 years, $161 million. I remember thinking, man, that's a lot of money for a pitcher. 9 years is ridiculous, but at 29 years old, if they can get five solid years out of him, here's the guy that led the AL in ERA, strikeouts. The Yankees need starting pitching. Their starters are 26 in all of baseball in innings. They don't even average five innings a game. They needed this guy to get over the top to be a World Series
team. Tim Kalishaw?
Yeah, when you look at the rotation the Yankees tried to get past the Astros with and couldn't, and now to be able to flip that and put Gerrit Cole on your team, it's worth it at the back end of the deal, even if 4 or 5 years he is going to be wildly overpaid. You hope that those kind of rumors about Astros spin rates aren't really true and that he'll have the same pitches when he comes to New York. You know, he was a good pitcher in Pittsburgh. He was a great pitcher in Houston. He needs to be a great pitcher for the Yankees.
Wait, what are you saying there, Tim, that his stats in Houston may have been benefited by?
I'm not saying anything that Trevor Bauer and others haven't surmised about kind of magical spin rates with Astro pitchers that once they get there. It's just a rumor.
Sarah Spain, talk to us about Gerrit Cole and the we're a third of the way to $1 billion over 9 years.
Yeah, I think Tim is saying that signs point to him potentially regressing once he leaves the Astros. Listen, this is a huge deal for the Yankees. We're used to them spending money, but this is as much money between Cole and Stanton that the Yankees will be spending as the entire Orioles team.
All right.
They're spending more on Cole than the Pirates and their free agents in 25 years combined. We're kind of batting an eye because it's a lot of money, but we're also not because it's the Yankees and we're used to this. They need this guy, and now we're looking at him at the age he's at and some of the other pitchers that we've seen, and instead of saying 200 plus innings 4 out of the last 5 years, that's a red flag, he's not going to last through this career, instead we're saying this is a sign that he's durable and he'll be able to last for the length of this contract and succeed. That's a real risky bet for the Yankees, but clearly one they're willing to make, because in recent years when they haven't been betting bigger than everyone else, they haven't been making the World Series, and that's all that matters in New York.
And Jackie McMahon.
Yeah, this is business as usual in the Bronx, Tony. I've been watching this since I was 3 years old. And for every time they sign a Jacoby Ellsbury, they sign a Mark Teixeira. Every time they sign a Carl Pavano, there's a Mike Messina on the other end. This is how business works in the Bronx, especially if you're Hal Steinbrenner. Think about it. They haven't won a World Series obviously, since he took over, it hasn't been that long. But they haven't won one in almost over a, we're getting close to a decade now. Don't you think he wants to be like his dad and do whatever it takes to have one under his wing? You bet.
This last decade was the first decade in a century they didn't even make a World Series. So what I'm hearing here is a lot of you think the back end of this is not going to work, but if it works for 5 years, it's good enough. Frank, is that what you're telling me?
And remember, too, he has an opt-out after 5 years. So if he were to opt out, that's probably a good thing for everybody because that meant that he gave the Yankees five good years. All I could think of is Houston still leaving this guy in the bullpen in Game 7. Maybe you should have used him. But the Yankees needed to make this move. They've been a bullpen team. To Jackie's point, they've been throwing money at guys that can hit. We get it. You don't win with offense in the playoffs. You need pitching, and they finally have a starting pitcher that they can throw
and
out.
Sarah Spain.
It's worth it even if he doesn't go the length of the contract for two reasons. One, they've taken him away from a team that was constantly getting in their way in the Astros. So not only do they add to their team, they subtract from an opposition. Okay. But also because he's a guy who wants to go to SoCal. So if you want to get him out of SoCal, as much as he's a lifelong Yankees fan, you got to probably give him more than he deserves and more than those teams were willing
to pay. Maybe. I mean, you said he wanted to pitch in Southern California. We showed you that photo. Yankee fan forever? Hey, maybe knock off a few hundred million. All right. There's nothing you guys like more than spending other people's money. There we go. All right, fine. You like the deal. We'll move on. Speaking of spending money, now we're over $1 billion over the last 3 days, it seems like. Last year, the money was tight. It didn't come till late for Harper and Machado. So I want to talk about that. But also, we did this story yesterday. I have Sarah Spain here with Chris Bryan and the Cubs. All right? You're tracking that. There was a story last night from Ken Rosenthal about the Astros shopping Carlos Correa. And another story today, Rockies listening to offers on Nolan Arenado, who they just signed recently. John Heyman had that report. And then, Jackie, you're tracking whether the Red Sox are going to move Mookie Betts. Tim, you got the Indians and Francisco Lindor. What in the world is happening right now? Sarah, start there. How should baseball feel about all those great young stars, former MVPs, maybe on the move?
There's two separate stories. One is that the teams that are usually spending all the money to buy up the big names are inexplicably looking to sell them. Now, with Chris Bryant specifically, it could be injury risks or concerns that he's not going to return to the greatness that he once showed early in his career. I wouldn't bet on that. I'd like the Cubs to stick with them. As for the other guys, some of it is obviously financial reasons, but we're surprised to see these big teams. Second one, quickly, is that other teams have said in previous years when we've wondered why free agency wasn't moving quickly, why these guys were on the market for so long, we'll spend when we're ready to spend. And we might be seeing proof of that now. Winter meetings are not even over yet, and we are seeing some of the biggest deals yet. This week waited months and months last year. So maybe if we're giving them the benefit of the doubt, those owners and baseball people were being honest when they said, we're not collaborating to freeze people out. We're just waiting to spend the money when we want to spend it.
Jackie Mac, can we just focus on the Mookie Betts, Chris Bryant, Carlos Correa of all this? I mean, these are the greatest names in the sport, and they're on the teams who usually spend the money and keep the players.
Right. But I think if you think about especially the Cubs and the Red Sox, for instance, both of them went out and wanted to spend money. They did spend money. They both won World Series, Tonys. And then they've had disappointing seasons. I think the Red Sox season and the Cubs season, the last two, were one of the two of the most disappointing. So all of a sudden you have an owner that will say, well, wait a minute. I spent all this money. You know what? We won a World Series. Let's recalibrate. Let's get rid of some of these guys and start over. My fan base will be fine with that. We've won a World Series already. Let's get under that luxury tax. I think there's some of that going on.
Frank Isola?
Yeah, I definitely think fiscal responsibility has a lot to do. And I think what the Nationals did this past season, you know, Bryce Harper was a guy that everyone was waiting for. He got 9 years. He didn't make the playoffs. So he leaves Washington and they win. There comes a point where there's only so much offense you need. Tony, Stanton missed a lot of games this season with the Yankees. They still hit the second most home runs in the history of the sport. Everyone, it seems, to be an offensive player. So you don't need the big bopper at every single position at crazy money.
And Tim Kalishaw.
I mean, I think you have some different situations. In Boston, you've got a situation where Dombrowski spent so much money on pitching, on Chris Sale, on Price, on Eovaldi, and they want to stay under, as Jackie said, the luxury tax that they feel like they don't have any choice but to move Mookie Betts. But it's really, you got to really second guess or even just think about trading great young offensive talent. They're much more predictable than pitchers. I can see taking a risk and getting rid of a pitcher, although people don't do that. But when you trade Carlos Correa or Chris Bryant, you know those guys are going to be really good for a long time for somebody else.
Sarah, on Chris Bryant, the Cubs, I mean, they're going to blow up this team? Yeah. Have they even, what are they going to do with Rizzo going forward, Contreras going forward? It seems like all of them are out.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Like, what I'm hearing on the down low is that this could be a very, very different-looking team, which would be surprising to those who look at that World Series roster and said, oh, they're in a perfect position to contend every single year, and look at how young all these guys are. I don't know if they think that they've lost their passion because they did the thing that every Cubs team was trying to do for 108 years. Now they got to mix in some new faces. I'm not sure, but if you look at Javi Baez, Nick Castellanos, who came in and did so well, Chris Bryant, Rizzo, who they're now not saying they're going to negotiate with 2 years ahead of his contract, there's so many names that you would think would be killer on any team. I don't know if they just want to shake things up because they don't think this chemistry is working.
And you said you heard that on the down low? Don't think it's on the down low
I don't
anymore.
Want to say sources.
I think you just went.
I'm like not a real
I know, but I think you just went on international TV in 173 countries and you said it. Let's move on. Hawks Heat last night. Let's go to basketball. The one minor problem with Trae Young saying the game's over at 117-111 with 59 seconds remaining was it wasn't.
Wasn't over.
Miami finishing the game on a 24-4 run through overtime. Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, triple doubles, and the Heat win. Jackie Mack, Miami 18-6 right now. What are we talking about with this Heat team? Can they win the East?
I mean, they're going to be competitive in the East. It's still a small sample size, but Bam Adebayo, he's this year's Pascal Siakam. Yeah. He's the motor that makes that team run. Drazic's hurt, so he hasn't even played a lot. He's been unbelievable off the bench. Duncan Robinson, you know where he went to school? People are going to say Michigan. He started at Division III Williams College. He hit 10 threes the other day. This and Spo's one of the best coaches, and Jimmy Butler has found his home.
Frank Isola, can the Heat win the East?
Shout out of the NASCAC from Jackie. I like it. They definitely can because Jimmy Butler is a go-to player. You look at some of the other teams in the Eastern Conference, they really don't have that player. But for Miami to go out and get Jimmy Butler and think about the players they surround them with. Jackie mentioned Bam Adebayo. That's a draft pick. But think about the guys that they found and have developed. Duncan Robinson, 10 three-pointers last night that ties a franchise record. And then Kendrick Nunn had 36 points. Another guy out of the G League that Miami finds and develops.
Sarah Spain.
The Bucks are still the East leaders, in my opinion. Miami's been surprising with the talent that they have. I think they'll contend, but the Bucks have it. As for last night, we're underselling the incredible response from Trae Young after he said it was over and it wasn't, just the shrug with the whelp. And I think the whelp place whelp is incredible. Yeah. I also think when you look at that game, you know, there's a full minute to play. So was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Don't do it, Sarah Spade. You know what happens. You know what happens. You're quoting a movie from 40 years ago. People, you know what's going to happen to your Menchies right now. Kalishaw, answer this question. Can the Heat win the East?
They can because they don't have a Lakers or a Clippers or a team with dominant players who've already won titles. I mean, we think the Bucks are a really good team, and the East playoffs, you got to beat them on the road. Philadelphia in half-court playoff games should be a very tough team to play. But Jackie hit on it. Spoelstra's a great coach. He's not a good coach, and they got good players, and he puts them together. They got a lot of different shooters. They're a scary team.
Frank, did you want to add something?
Well, you know, Lloyd Pierce pulled Trae Young with 59 seconds to go, up six for defensive purposes.
Yes.
I get it. Once Duncan Robinson made that three, you got to call timeout, get Trae Young back in the game. He wasn't in there for those two possessions, and then they tied the game up.
There's your horn. Buy or sell next. Raptors-Clippers tonight. Ring night for Kawhi Leonard in Toronto. This is going to be amazing. But what will really make it more amazing if the ring looks like Celine Dion? That is not a ring. That is a mitten. We'll be back. Fire
Where in the world is Celine Dion?
Double secret probation.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Tonight, Kawhi Leonard's return to Toronto. Look at that shot. Ooh. The ring ceremony, near, far, wherever you are. You know, I always ask what percent boos, what percent of cheers it will happen when the guy comes back. How it played out last year, and we're talking a championship, and we're talking about Canadians here. Sorry. So I think it's 1,000,000% cheers, but Tim, what do you expect tonight?
Yeah, very, very low on the boo meter tonight. This is a guy who went there for 1 year. Got traded there, played his tail off, won a title. And it helps that the team without him is very good. It's not like he left and the team fell apart, and now they're angry that they don't have a good team to cheer anymore. They have a very good team.
Yeah, 1,000,000% cheers, eh? They've already released a video for him. They put up signs on their arena for him on the outside. I mean, if there was even one single Canadian who wanted to stroll in there tonight and express displeasure at him no longer being on the team, I think the team has set it up well enough to say, stay out of here, eh? We're going to be welcoming him back with open arms and handfuls of syrup.
Isola, how about you?
He handled everything well last year, from his free agency even to his departure. They've asked fans to show up 15 minutes early tonight because they're going to have a big ceremony. He might even give a little speech. He's going to get cheered.
He's going to give a speech? I would love to see. A little speech. I don't think there's a big speech with the quad. How about you, Jackie?
No, I agree, everybody, with the cheers, but I don't know about handling everything perfectly, Frank. Do you really think that's the case? Because I honestly don't. He went to the table with the Toronto in free agency and tried to play hardball with them and ended up orchestrating himself into the most perfect position.
All right.
I understand he won a championship for him. I get all of that. That's weird. Without him. There's no question about that. But let's not turn this guy into a saint. Oh. If he was a saint, he would have stayed.
He handled better than Kyrie and Durant did.
I know. That's the Boston in McMahon.
Okay,
right
well,
there.
That bar's pretty low now, isn't it, Frank? My goodness.
Well, he handled it well.
We'll move on. Down goes number one. I mean, it's been 6 weeks into the season. 4 number ones have lost. There'll be a 5th number one next week. Sarah, what do you buy from that and Louisville's loss to Texas Tech last night?
I'm buying the chaos of college basketball. This is the most AP number ones to lose before January in the history of the poll. This is going to be like this all season long because we don't have a Duke with Zion. We don't have that one team. It could either be thrilling or very boring come March Madness when there are no big dogs to knock off.
Well, Chris Beard, number one, is an outstanding coach. That's one thing. But if Maryland had not lost to Penn State last night, Maryland could have been number one for the first time during the season in school history. And they blew it, as De Niro would say.
Jackie Mack?
Well, think about it. So Evansville and Stephen F. Austin could have been a trivia question. The teams 14 days apart beat the number one team. And by the way, the number one team was 2 different teams. That's pretty amazing when you consider that in college basketball. But I like it. I think it's fine. I worry that when it comes down to the end of the season, we're going to have the same old, same old. I hope that isn't true. I like it when Texas Tech is taking names. That's a lot better for the sport.
Frank went all in on Maryland. He forgot all about David Moretti for the Texas Tech Red Raiders.
Ooh, Abotanza!
That went to the championship game last year. Now, they lost most of their talent, and they didn't have their leading scorer. He's right. Chris Beard can really coach. That's what we saw again last night.
Let me hear the romance in it. Moretti! We'll move on. Buy or sell 3. Ravens listing Lamar Jackson. Questionable today, but he says he's playing.
I feel great. I feel good. I'm 100. I'm going to be out there Thursday night.
Because teams are trying to do, I'm not saying they're trying to hurt Lamar, but, you know, they're definitely going at his legs more than they was doing it at first. And I think the refs need to pay closer attention to that as well, you know, and protect them a little bit more.
Frank, buy or sell Lamar saying he's playing tomorrow through the quad injury. Buy or sell Earl Thomas saying refs should ref him differently, protect him more.
Well, I think Earl Thomas is being a really good teammate by saying that. But when you're running, you are a runner. He's not standing in the pocket taking hits. The NFL is going to protect you on that. But he will play tomorrow night at the Meadowlands.
Jackie Mack?
And he'll be pretty good.
Yeah, of course he's going to play tomorrow night. He's a gamer. And Earl Thomas is trying to do that, Frank. But you are no longer a defenseless player on the field when you start leaving the pocket and start running like that. And I think Lamar Jackson knows it. His coaching staff knows it. And I'm apparently just also appearing on the show today, so even I know that. I'm going to run for cover. Also appearing on the show.
23 points, Jackie. I mean, that's your score again. Tim Kalish, how about you?
You know, even when he's in the pocket, he's so quick moving around, you don't have much chance to do anything other than dive at him. And so it does create a problem when you're going at it. It looks like you're going at his knees. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're just trying to get a hand on him. It is something the refs need to watch.
Yeah, to Frank and Jackie's point, though, Lamar Jackson himself came out and said, when I'm on the edges, I do a really good job of avoiding hits. It's when I'm in the pocket that I've been taking the most hits, when I'm sitting back and looking for open guys. I think this is great by Earl Thomas because even if the hits he's taking are not illegal, he's at least putting it in the minds of the officials before a game against Greg Williams, of all people, that they should be looking for. And I think that's a good move by him.
Be careful.
All right.
Sarah Spain, Jackie McMullen, also receiving votes in today's program. Tim Kalishaw. Greg Isola showdown next. We don't cover Serie A on the show.
About time.
But with the news today of Gattuso going to Napoli, it gives me the chance to dust off this encapsulation of what the scoring in showdown is. Here it is.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be...
There we go!
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Kalishaw, Isola, good luck in showdown. You guys remember a few years back, a Grinnell player, Jack Taylor, scoring 138 in a game? We didn't get all the way there last night, but 100, a hundo for J.J. Culver of Wayland Baptist. It's the second highest mark in NAIA history. Tim, how impressive.
You know, he might have had some openings on that defense there. This is Jarrett Culver's brother, but 100 is 100. His shooting percentage almost identical to Wilt's in the 100 game.
100 is 100. They won by 64 points. I hate to be that guy, but there were five guys on that team, his teammates, who didn't even play 10 minutes. I mean, hey, Wayland Baptist, show some mercy. Take the guy out.
Woo! I don't think you hate to be that guy, Frank Isola. We'll move on, points. We'll split it. We'll move on to...
I am
this. We're talking about winning the press conference this week. Arkansas did it gloriously with Sam Pittman. Well, here's new Missouri coach Eliah Drinkwitz, a little trouble with the conference this week, please.
And our goal, our stated goal, is going to be to win the Sun Belt, to win the SEC East.
All right, Frank, how big of a mistake is getting the conference wrong in your intro press conference?
It's kind of like Bryce Harper saying we're going to bring a championship back to Washington when he had signed with Philadelphia. Plus, he was reading from a prepared statement. He should have known.
Have you watched Mizzou lately? Winning the Sun Belt would be a nice upgrade. That's a good story.
Rachel went there. How dare you? Point FaceTime Frank Isola.
All right. Hey, I was going to mention that the battle for last place in the NBA is tonight, Golden State and the Knicks, but forget about that. Since I'm that guy with Wayland Baptist, I want to mention their women's team has won more national championship than any women's team. That includes Eugene Auriemma and UConn. They're in the Hall of Fame, just like the queen of Around the Horn, the one and only Jackie McMullen. Wayland Baptist, Jackie McMullen. Champions.
Wait, Jackie, you have a winning record versus UConn? New Hampshire has a winning record while you were there? Wow! There you go.
I was there. Yeah, they were nobody back then.
See you tomorrow.
Take that.